Corp says, as your final thought on this, we don't have kids yet, but we've given some horribly annoying toys to my nieces. The best worst ones are the ones that are motion activated and have no off switch. Personal favorite, though, an electronic accordion we gave one of our nieces. Good times. All right. It's the Rick Emerson, the radio program. Here's what we're going to do. Well, let me take this call real quickly because he's on drugs, probably. Then we will have Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth, and we'll finish up some... Oh, we're going to do the weigh-in today, because today begins my month of sloth. Let's quickly talk to Todd. Now, Todd, we spoke to you a couple days ago. You were headed to Seattle to do the medical hair restoration.
Yes, sir.
Are you on Valium and or Vicodin right now?
I'm just getting back into the areola, yeah. I'm,
The what?
Just getting back into the areola here off the freeway. Nothing a couple of Vicodin and a couple of Visa wouldn't handle on the way down the road.
I have no idea. Attention advertisers. You took it. Anyway, so how did it work out? Everything went fine?
I got to tell you, those are some, they got a class act going on up there. Anybody who's got any reservations about doing it, just go ahead and do it. They've got some good people, and I flew through there like a NASCAR pit crew.
No, it is a really, really great place, and to them, not to, you know, I mean, I guess it is a plug, because I did it, but it's not really an advertisement that I'm doing here, but it is a thing that I did, so I'm glad you had a good experience, glad you went there, glad you had it done, and thanks, but well, let me know how it goes.
I slept through the whole thing.
No, that's what I say. You sit down on that chair, they gave me the Valium, and I was either asleep or just sort of like drifting along in a mental pink cloud for like the next 12 hours or so. So it's
Hey, I found out they got a new, I didn't hear this from him, I just heard it while I was up there. They have a new procedure for a breath lift.
Is this going to be something I have to bleep?
No, not at all. Yeah. No, you just turn it click or two a day, and... Okay. Yes. This woman calls back the doctor and says, I think there's something wrong with my knob, it won't move anymore. So she goes into the doctor's office and sits down. The doctor comes in and goes, oh, my God, what happened? She goes, well, it won't turn anymore.
Thank you. Did that bleep?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Enjoy the Vicodin, sir. There you go.
I can't believe you even let him go on.
I had no idea where it was going. Oh, and my headphones just fell off.
Oh, you're a little flailing.
Oh. All right, there you go.
Mm. Wow, good thing we kept him waiting to listen to that.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So we're going back to A here. Oh, God, is this going to be something else to make me angry about the airport?
No!
All right.
You're off the hook for this newscast.
All right, thank you.
A Macy's clerk is wrapping up the grand prize in the gift wrapping contest. 5 years ago, Veronica Rodriguez could hardly wrap a sandwich and became a laughingstock among her friends and family when she landed a job in the gift-wrapping department of Macy's.
That's what you want, is to be a laughingstock among your friends and family and then to be identified as that.
The tape, ribbon-cutting, and bow-tying routine finally paid off. Rodriguez took first prize in the Scotch Tape Most Gifted Wrapper Contest in New York City.
And my plan was that I was going to put a skirt all the way around the pony. So I measured the pony all the way around with a piece of string, the paper, and then I used a paper cutter, which makes it easy to cut straight lines. I cut the lines to make it like a skirt, and then it was a plaited skirt and put it all the way around the pony.
Well, the contest was to wrap a pony in just 13 minutes.
I'm sorry, I don't even understand.
She was just wrapping a pony.
Some people don't think it's right to use a lot of tape. It doesn't look nice. But if you use the Scotch and a clear see-through tape, it makes it so much easier to just tape every little piece of end that you can tape in order to make it tight, clean, and crisp.
What kind of pony? I don't understand.
I don't have the breed of pony. But it is a pony.
Is this like when the Beatles talked about digging a pony?
Okay. No, this is a pony.
Okay.
She had to wrap the pony. This is the contest.
Kids, remember to wrap that pony.
She has no intentions of taking on wrapping up a Christmas tree, though.
This was one of the most challenging gifts I've ever had to wrap, the life-size toy horse stuffed pony and then the airplane.
Life-size horse?
We do a lot of stuff in Boston. This was one of the most challenging gifts I've ever had to wrap, the life-size toy horse, stuffed pony, and then the airplane. So we can do a lot of stuff.
I swear to God.
That's kind of what I'm used to.
She's rapping.
How long did she talk about this?
Endlessly,
well,
apparently.
She's very proud of herself. She was once the laughing stock of her family. But now, you know, after wrapping a pony, there's newfound respect for her.
Life-size toy horse.
This is one of the most challenging gifts I've ever had to wrap, the life-size toy horse, stuffed pony, and then the airplane. So I'm hoping to do a lot of stuff in boxes. That's kind of what I'm used to.
Stop!
A lot of big bows.
Okay, Jesus God.
All right.
Meanwhile, the former mayor of Appalachia has pled guilty to rigging a local election in a scheme that involved bribing voters with pork rinds.
Okay, this is a hick watch. We have to, this seriously, we have to roll the hick watch. Thank you.
Copenhagen makes me feel good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Mouth goes spitting, slobbering all around the house. Copenhagen makes me feel so good.
So, culminating a scandal that has brought shame and ridicule among the small town, population 1,839, Ben Cooper pled guilty in Wise County Circuit Court to 233 felony counts involving voter fraud in the town council election. In the same courtroom, seven more people, including some of the town's most prominent residents, pled guilty to their roles in helping to fix the election in Cooper's favor. He now faces more than $85,000 in court fines and could get 21 months in jail. I think he feels terrible about the whole incident, say some of the town's people. Among those pleading guilty, the former town police captain, a leader of the local rescue squad, a former town hall employee, and two uncles of a former councilman were charged in taking part in the scheme.
And they bribed people with pork?
In one charge, one part of the scheme involved bribing people by offering them booze, cigarettes, prescription medication, even snacks. The other part of the scheme involved forging absentee ballots. According to the prosecutor, candidates persuaded people to apply for absentee ballots, and when the registrar marked the ballots, they were intercepted at the post office. Votes for Cooper came and were forged along with the voters' social security numbers, along with the this fellow's mother who worked at the town hall, so she's involved too. Former Councilman Andy Charlotte, his brother Adam, and his father Dude planned to plead guilty to charges of forging court documents in the town of Appalachia.
For such a tiny little unimportant town,
1,839
makes my head hurt.
It's widespread.
Good God! All right, there's your Hick Watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Almighty.
From the same newspaper, they're also looking for a new chief of police for the town of Christiansburg. Oh,
that sounds like an exciting place to live.
Meanwhile, Danny DeVito was forced to apologize to top U.S. anchorwoman Barbara Walters after appearing on her live morning show. Well, he was mocking President Bush, for one thing. The veteran broadcaster was stony-faced on The View as the slurry DeVito joked about how he and his wife had utilized the White House bedroom and made comments about the president that had to be bleeped out twice.
Hmm. He called him...
Mr. Bush... I shouldn't even say that.
You probably shouldn't say it. The first word... It's a two-word phrase that many men use describing to other men. The first word is numb.
That's something from the 70s.
It really
is. A long time.
Exactly. It's totally a thing from the 70s or a thing that, like, hockey players call each other. Hey, you numb.
Nah.
Yeah, you would think that after the Michael Richards thing and the Mel Gibson thing, that really it wouldn't something like this wouldn't even be on the radar. Tim Ryan, who works at our sister station, Couple, he has this whole theory that Danny DeVito, who apparently is a good friend of Michael Richards, did it just to get Michael Richards off the front page. But I don't think so. I think that Danny DeVito he's just a small man who gets drunk.
He's got no videos to sell. Season 3 of Taxi available now.
I was thinking about that the other day, actually.
I don't think anybody cares at this point.
No one does. I was thinking about how Taxi has just completely and totally fallen off the cultural radar, and how bizarre to think that the guy who played Louie and lived in a little cage in Taxi is now like a big Hollywood player. Whoever would have foreseen that happening? And so forth. All right, let's do one more here, and then we'll get some of these calls that we get into the big weigh-in.
I've
got this goblin story to get to, and so forth.
Goblin on the wing of a plane?
No, there's a goblin on the wing of it. You must believe me.
That was a Twilight Zone episode.
Nightmare.
William Shatner was in that one.
Nightmare at 20,000 feet.
Make sure you watch it before you leave.
Yeah, that's a terrifying. That's a terrifying episode. Even though the costume really looks just like a. The costume really just looks like a guy in sort of a Chia Pet outfit these days. It doesn't really hold up, but it's William Shatner, back before he became terrible. He was in actually several Twilight Zone episodes. I think he was in three different episodes. He was in one called Nick of Time. He was in one called Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. And I think William Shatner was in a third Twilight Zone episode called... God, what the hell was it? No, it was only two. I'm thinking of James Best, who went on to play Roscoe P. Coltrane. He was in this episode called Jess Bell. That was not William Shatner. Why do I know this much about the Twilight Zone? Is to me as Star Trek is to a lot of other dudes. I know an astonishing amount of stuff about Twilight Zone.
My favorite one was the Fallout Shelter.
The Fallout Shelter, called The Shelter, which is a great episode. And that is the Shelter is an episode that is very similar to another episode of Twilight Zone called The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, which is where there's they spot the Sputnik or whatever, and then it's he's an alien! Yeah, those are great.
Fantastic. All right. Although he's lost many fans after being captured on video hurling racist epithets at a comedy club audience, Michael Richards has an ally, Mel Gibson. I feel like sending Michael Richards some roses, or a note, said Gibson in an interview with Entertainment Weekly's December 8th issue. I really feel badly for the guy. He was obviously in a state of stress. You don't need to be inebriated to be bent out of shape. But my heart went out to the guy. The 50-year-old actor/director added, they'll probably torture him for a while, and then they'll let him go.
Why is Mel Gibson so obsessed with people being tortured? Mel Gibson has, I'm calling it out right now, Mel Gibson has got a torture fetish. There's probably torture in whatever that new movie, Calypso, or whatever that new movie is. It's undoubtedly a torture. Every Mel Gibson film has somebody being tortured, graphically speaking. Hmm. And by the way, that's got to feel bad when said, hey, by the way, someone's coming to your defense. You know, good news, bad news, it's Mel Gibson. I mean, if you're that guy, you just, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Here's the kind of email you don't like to receive. Subject line, Enum Claw Horse Video. Rick, I don't know if you've seen this.
Welcome to our town, home of the famous horse video.
Here's,
as people are coming in.
Welcome to Enum Claw. Enjoy your stay, won't you, please? Just a picture of a big smiling horse. Here's a video of the horse and the man.
Oh, that's all right. I'll pass on that.
In action.
For it.
And then he says,
man on horse action. Just what we need.
He says, I shouldn't have to warn you this, but it is a little graphic and very disturbing.
Yes, I would imagine that would be graphic.
See, but here's the thing. There's this video here, and the link is right here. And it says, here's a video of the man and the horse. And the video, I don't have to paste anything. All I have to do is click on this little link.
No, don't do it.
I'm just saying, I wonder how many people in this world would click on this link.
How many have viewed it already?
I mean, obviously enough people wish to view this that it has become a link on the internet. Mm-hmm. The question is, will I, Rick Emerson, click on this sometime in the next day or two?
Yes, you will.
You could do it when you're in Utah to break up the monotony.
I really should.
That'd be a good conversation.
Yeah, seriously. Hey, come on.
Good get a time uh-huh. conversation. Bring a laptop.
Here's something you don't see every day. All right. Before I do the best thing about cursing Aunt Jemima is you don't need to wrap the pony.
That's true.
Let me get a couple of these. Wilton, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Sarah. Hey, Tim.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Wilton.
Hey. Hey, I got a few comments on the DOA song. You have ever heard, or if anybody out there has ever heard, the Casey Kasem dedication?
Oh, yeah, we all have.
I'm trying to do a dedication about a goddamn dog.
Get down on the phone.
The dedication of DOA.
No.
Yes, it was one called in and requested that song.
I call shenanigans on this.
That would be top 40, for one thing.
I swear. Now, this is honest.
Now, is this a thing you heard?
This is a thing I heard as a kid.
That is not in the realm of top 40 music.
Tim is casting a spur. He is calling shenanigans on this.
Yeah.
Well, check the score chart. That was it. It was an actual charting song. DOA was.
We believe it, but not on the top 40.
I don't know. I don't have my... because I'm a loser, I have this copy of Joel Whitburn's A Complete Top 40 List from 1955 through the year 2000. I don't have it handy, though.
Check it out.
Well, you know, hold on. I can turn up my microphone with my elbow. Look at me. I'm a retard. Let me look this up right now, actually. While you're on the phone, let's look up Wikipedia. I will look up Blood Rock right now. Because here's the, I would give anything to have Casey Kasem. How would Casey Kasem even... Okay, let me ask you this while I'm looking it up. In what context was he doing a long-distance dedication with...
I'm not sure exactly what it was, because this was right at the time when the song was out. But he actually did, someone called in and read something about the song there.
All right, now hold on. Now listen to this.
Okay.
Blood Rock was best known for the song DOA, about a gory airplane crash, which became their only hit single, reaching number 36.
See?
On the music charts in January 1971. Now, this is Wikipedia, so it could be wrong.
No, they are correct. I'm a big radio listener, big music guy, and remember that. I also lived in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm born and raised in Jacksonville. And at the time when the plane crash happened, they asked all the stations to stop, all the rock and roll stations, you know, your FM cool stations, stop. And DOA.
Well, I remember after 9/11, there was that big list that Clear Channel put out about, this sounds like a joke, but Clear Channel put out like a 3-page list of songs that you were not supposed to play after 9/11.
Yep, well, it's the same kind of thing. It's just a local thing.
All right, seriously, if anybody out there anywhere, I don't even know where you would get a copy of this, but if there is extant audio anywhere of Casey Kasem, here's the thing, even if it was I can't imagine him doing that. I mean, if it was a single, though, if it was number 36, it looks like it was top 40.
Well, I also remember Casey Kasem reading a dedication of a song called It Was the Beginning of My End. Does Tim Riley remember that song at all?
Do not remember.
What is
that
it? It's the Beginning of My End. Is that a dead song?
It was a hit song. I can't even remember the artist, but it was about a car crash, and the guy broke up with his girlfriend. And at the end of it, all of a sudden, she ends up getting in a car crash. And he walks up, and I remember the line saying, somebody asked who was the next of kin. And, oh, Lord, it was the end of my end. He saw his girlfriend die after he just broke up.
Thanks for being a real pick-me-up today, Wilton. You've really taken the show in a happy place right now.
Well, you know.
All right, thank you, sir.
Happy flight, man.
Thank you. I'll...
The sheets are red and moist. Where I'm
we have the break?
Yes. God in heaven, teach me how to die.
Back after this with Goblin Talk and the great Rick Emerson December weigh-in, you said there.
Vegas, decorate your tree with chips. Let's roll a yo beneath the mistletoe while that angel strips. Rudolph sold the sled, now he's betting on red in a casino made out of gingerbread. Christmas in Las Vegas, it's a trip. The wise men are rolling sevens. Candle and pull the handle. Love that jingling sound. Every showgirl and boy riding a sleigh of joy, pulled by 8 tiny tigers eating Siegfried and Roy. Christmas in Las Vegas, what a town. Santa brought me 2 aces. I wonder if I should split. Hey waitress, bring me a drink while I think, what would Jesus hit? The strip lights are all twinkling. There's no room at the inn. But because 'tis the season, they'll comp a suite for Mary at the Wynn. Christmas in Las Vegas, it's Bethlehem with bling. Let's hope the dealer brings 4 newborn kings, 'cause my baby needs a brand new pair of 5 golden rings. Christmas in Las Vegas really swings. Cha-cha-cha-ching. I said Christmas in Las Vegas really swings.
Yo Yo.
You said it, Santa. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you. Good night.
Rick Emerson Show, ladies and gentlemen. Richard Cheese and Christmas in Las Vegas. Just got that in the mail today, actually. It's New City Silent Nightclub. There you go. It's 503.
Oh, is he coming through town?
No, he's not.
It's out the air.
I'm sorry?
He probably still thinks we're out the air.
Oh, no. I think he thinks we're the others. Come by and see that Christina girl. And he just, like,
I almost accidentally call him when I call you because it's Richard Cheese and Rick Emerson.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
No. I don't even have his phone number. Sounds like somebody got the special inside line with Richard Cheese. Did he slip it to you, like, hey, in case you ever need to book me for anything, here's my number?
It was so long ago, I don't even remember anymore.
But no, I get, that guy sends, God love him, that guy sends spam like nobody sends spam.
Yeah, that's what he doesn't have is my email address, which I'm grateful for about that.
Oh, man, seriously, every week, year round, not just like at the holiday season, I get like 3, 4, 5 emails from that guy every single week.
Like hot tips on stocks.
Totally, he's a
Richard Cheese.
Richard Cheese wants you to short, like wearing blender stock. As for his new CD, Silent Nightclub. There you go, Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley is at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So I am here to clear up this misunderstanding because I can't begin the weekend without disclosing these important facts.
You can't begin the weekend with a lie.
With a lie. We dig a little bit deeper. A startling accusation was made moments ago live on the air here. That the song that we've been playing regularly, when Blood Rock.
Let me just, for those who don't know the song, let me just play just a second of it here.
The sheets are red and moist where I'm lying.
This song was the song that was being played when Casey Kasem went up the deep. We all know about Casey Kasem. He's had an illustrious 50-year career, but he's most remembered for cussing on a recording that's been, I guess, handed out to everyone by now in 1985. And the song that was played was a song called Shannon. This is a 1976 song inspired by the death of Beach Boy Carl Wilson's Irish Setter. They reached number 6 on the chart in 1976, recorded by Henry Gross. It was his only big hit. And that was a song that was supposed to be about the dead dog. And the song after that, let's see here, was Dare Me by the Pointer Sisters. So Blood Rock was not involved in the Casey Kasem thing.
In your face, Wilton. Scotty, of course, knows it. He's typing the lyric in the screen. Shannon is gone. I heard she drifted out to sea.
Uh-huh.
See, I don't know that song.
But it's a great old song from 1976.
About death.
About a dead dog.
I'm trying to record a thing about a goddamn dead dog. That's the thing, right?
Get Don on the phone. Have you seen those pictures? Get Don on the phone.
I am, you know what?
50-year career, and that's what he's remembered for.
I've got to be the only...
Casey Kasem.
This has got to be the only radio show on earth that doesn't have a copy of that ready to play at a moment's notice. Now,
Scotty must have it somewhere.
Scotty,
it's a song about a dead dog.
Do you? Well, and I don't have a... Scotty, do you have a copy of the Kasem thing by chance?
Reached number 6.
Does it need to be bleeped?
No.
The Kasem thing?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I know he says goddamn, but does he say the F-word?
I'm not sure.
Oh,
I don't want to cast aspirations. I don't remember.
Now I feel so unsatisfied because we're not able to. Okay,
that's true.
I should give a little backup here. So there is a famous. I didn't put it together that's what he was talking about for a minute. Wilton,
yeah.
I thought he was talking about a separate long distance dedication.
Long distance dedication was from the Colors' recently deceased dog. And he was upset that the show's producers placed a dedication immediately following the Pointer Sisters' hit Dare Me. Now, the song to be played was Shannon by Henry Gross.
And because he was talking about, I'm trying to come out of an up-tempo goddamn number. Yeah, that. Okay. So there is a famous clip that goes around the internet. It's, again, probably one of the most famous radio clips ever. And you're so right. That guy is a groundbreaker. Casey Kasem is easy to make fun of because he was the voice of Shaggy and he has a big, dumb voice. And he talks like this, the way that nobody talks anymore.
And he's about 5 feet tall. He's got this hot wife who's about 7 feet tall.
Big space alien looking wife. His daughter's kind of cute, though. And she's also in radio. She's in the new issue of, I think it was a new R&R or something.
Mm.
She's hot, but in that way that makes you suspect that it's like Brooke Hogan hot, where maybe it's like it's all angles and lighting and like travels full of makeup. Yeah, gray filters. So So Casey Kasem's easy to ridicule, but he is legitimately a legend. He is probably the most famous DJ, not broadcaster, but probably the most famous DJ, one of the most, who's ever lived. Right up there with Alan Freed, maybe, and Cousin Brucey and so forth. But he has broken so much ground, and yet you're right. The thing that he will be famous for, there is this clip, and Tim is right. When you come into radio, it's like somebody gives you a pair of headphones and like a coffee cup and a copy of this Casey Kasem thing. And it is an outtake from a American Top 40 session.
From 1985.
And some people think that show is live. I used to think that when I was a kid, but it's not. It's all pre-taped, like the Dr. Demento show.
It's come on records.
Comes on record. Now it comes on an MP3. And you play.
I don't think he does it anymore. It's
Shannon. Is it Ryan Seacrest or somebody?
Yeah, he's been given just about everything for no apparent reason. Well, I'm sure there's a very good reason for it. That's not disclosed to the public.
Whatever are you implying, Tim?
I'm not implying anything. I'm sure he deserved everything he got. And worked very hard for it. He did many dues.
He did a good job get that?
On numerous occasions, I'm sure.
Anywho, so Casey Kasem was recording American Top 40 Countdown, he was, this outtake surfaced where he was upset that they had put the long distance dedication, which is a very down tempo song, out of a fast tempo song, and in radio they call that a train wreck.
Yeah, we played that on the show before.
I don't remember. Have we played it, or have we talked about it so many times?
What's amazing about this is. The way that this thing got around, because this is 1984, before the internet.
Yeah. So somebody had to be smuggling that out of under their coat.
Reels, it was done on little reels of tape to hand out to your friends.
Yeah, Casey, look over there for a second. And then they ran for the door, and then somehow from that one master copy, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so Casey Kasem just goes nuts, and he's screaming about, he starts screaming about how they're going out of an up-tempo song into this down song, and he said, I'm trying to do a long-distance dedication about a goddamn dead dog. And then he just jumps the rails onto this other subject, and went, Get Don on the phone. Are my pictures done? And he's just losing his mind. So Wilton was thinking that it was out of DOA by Blood Rock, but you have now identified the song that he was coming out of, which is...
That's right.
Absurd.
I said smugly.
It is the Ministry of Truth, not the Ministry of Stuff. It's not the Ministry of Speculation. it's not the Ministry of Stuff that we're just... Oh, see, now Wilton's back. Wilton's back to defend himself.
Yes, indeed.
Hello, Wilton.
Hey, I did not see. I'm very familiar with the Casey Kasem gaffe.
Here comes the backpedaling.
And I did not say, clear tape, if you're running tape on it, I did not say that. Not did I even imply that. But I kind of thought that you might have misconstrued. No, this was just something
this
that was...
like a Donald Rumsfeld explanation. There are known unknowns, Wilton.
There are no unknowns. Yes, there are. No, I am very familiar with the Casey Kasem gaffe. This has nothing to do with that. This was just at the time, and I'm not even sure if it was actually at the time when this sat number 36 on the chart. Someone called in, and Casey Kasem, did this long little monologue before he played the song.
So you believe these are two separate incidents we're talking about?
Two separate incidents.
Okay,
and the other hit by Henry Gross was Springtime Mama.
Who writes a song about Carl Wilson's dead dog? What a bizarre thing to write a song about.
I have no idea, but I remember when Henry Gross hosted the Midnight Special.
Boy,
that was a Bob Kirshner.
Totally. Turning back the hands of time.
Dick Kirshner, or whatever that guy's name.
I think it was Dick. Yeah, he was the guy who did, he produced the Monkees, too.
No, Don Kirshner.
Don
Kirshner's rock concert used to be on after Saturday Night Live.
Yes,
before they played the national anthem in the test part.
They were so old. As we were waiting for the milk truck to come by, for Daddy to come home from the mill. All right. Thank you, sir.
Rick, I just wanted to let you know that I did not mistake that for the case of gaff. It was something totally different.
The best part is that Tim just looks so unconvinced still. Tim is just looking at your call with such... He's staring at the phone with just the most unbridled skepticism.
It's nothing personal, mind you.
Wilton.
You're welcome back here anytime with any type of information that you'd like to feed us.
Thank you, Wilton.
Later.
All right, there
Actual
you go.
Actual or not.
Anytime you'd like to peddle your shoddy wares, Wilton. All right. Good God.
I guess my work's done here.
That's a good way to kill like half an hour. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, world's greatest newsman. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Have a good weekend.
All right, get on the scale, Piggy.
Well, let's do it after the break. I got to read this goblin story.
Okay.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just gonna read this for no readily apparent reason. And then, wait, what else did I have to do? Oh, before we even do this, Scotty, would you, with the hole and the thing with the...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
The sheets are red and moist where I'm lying.
This is the only pop song to ever use the word moist. I will stake my reputation on that.
Teach me how to die.
Hello, Scotty J.
Good afternoon.
Can you think of another pop song that has the word moist in the lyrics? I'm not saying it doesn't exist, I guess. I can't think of any other pop song. And I gotta say, you know, here's the thing. You know, you did so badly at the American citizenship test yesterday. Really. He laughs. Yes. I have no knowledge of my own country or government. Oh, where is the Olive Garden?
I'm beginning to wonder if I paid any attention at all in school.
I can
whatsoever.
Answer that for you. No, the answer is no.
So do you see Scotty's shirt now?
Isn't
it beautiful?
Before we move on to that, just make a side note here. And you also failed miserably at the pop culture thing most of the time. But you know what Scotty would be really equipped to do is some sort of a music trivia thing.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty, you might actually be able to hold your own and even best me at some sort of a music trivia contest. I don't want to just cop the name that tune thing from Donna Mike, but something like that. You, sir, yeah, that's in your wheelhouse.
I might be able to, depending on the era, you know.
Yeah, well, if we picked an era we were both familiar with, like 80s.
Yeah,
we can do the 80s.
That.
You're pretty good at that. You got much more, you know, your pop knowledge is a lot deeper than mine. That's the thing. Now, about this shirt you're wearing, are you, in fact, wearing a see-through shirt?
No.
Now, when you say
breathable Nike shirt,
breathable. Are you airing?
It's only breathable right here.
If you're not exercising, why do you have to wear a breathable shirt?
Are you airing something
you
out?
You can see his nipples.
Are you?
Look.
Are you airing it out?
You can even see the color.
Many doctors encourage you to air it out, Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you wearing a breathable shirt? Are you sweating a lot while screening calls?
Yes.
You have this thing, don't you? That's your thing, that you sweat a lot.
Right, but I've been trying some new antiperspirant stuff. I've been experimenting.
And you're wearing clothes with holes in them?
Yeah. No, the new stuff seems to keep me dry.
Hold on,
I can't even remember
the new stuff seems to keep me dry.
Oh, yeah, Scotty J has the really hot armpits.
Yeah.
And by hot, we mean sexy.
Yeah.
Did we get the temperature of his armpit? We had to bring like a rectal thermometer in one of these days for his armpit because they've got the, you know, they're larger and the smaller one would never work in there. We had to bring in like a large thermometer and see the temperature of your armpits. I'm gonna write this down.
I don't.
Armpit temperature.
No,
Lars,
I'm not
gonna
do that.
Lars, a nurse, I can probably find. I'm not gonna stick it in myself. We'll have Scotty stick it in for me. Thermometer. Thermometer.
Yeah, I get this text message. Can you bring a thermometer, please?
Armpit.
Along with your scale.
All right. Let's see here. I got to look at the... Okay, hold on. Now, is this your skin? It's
That's
hard
the
to
skin.
Say because it's so pale. You are wearing a full-on see-through shirt.
So pale.
Well,
my break.
Sarah, come here. Look at this right here. I, for a minute, couldn't tell if that was skin under there because it's
pale.
Very pale.
And look, and you can see...
Do you shave your arms?
Detail.
No, it just stops there. Like
that looks shaved.
No,
to me.
I don't. Honestly.
Okay. That's weird. Scotty J has really
it.
Hairy arms,
and
except for like
stops.
Halfway
it's
up
true.
His bicep.
No, but it's not just that. It
so
stops.
Weird.
But it's not just that it stops. It stops exactly at the cuff
it's
line.
It's like he's wearing a skin
right.
shirt.
Therefore, it'd be really hard to
a skin
to do
shirt.
It. It'd be hard to shave that way.
Welcome to the skin shirt. If you're wearing a Gein shirt, it's. But the thing is, the arm hair stops exactly at the cuff line.
Right, on both
that is
sides.
Weird.
Though. There's no way I could duplicate that. Ooh, I went one hair too far. So, it's natural.
Are your legs like that? Do you have, like, skin shorts?
Skin shorts.
Yeah, the hair stops right at the sock line. No, it doesn't.
The hair stops right at the sock line. That just sounds so wrong, but I don't know why.
I wear tube socks that go up to my knees, too, and they're striped.
Get out.
I don't.
Leave now. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. Should
J.
I do the weigh-in when we get back? Yeah, because you guys should all guess. You guys should guess what my weight is going to be. You and Scotty should guess, and a random smattering of callers should guess my weight. Let's.
Are we breaking?
Okay, well, first you got to guess my weight. You should write it down. Or do you want to write it down during the break?
What I think your weight is?
Yeah. during
Should
the
I
break.
Just say it?
No, you during the break. You gotta write it down so you can't. You know, let's break here. We'll come back quickly. We'll round the room, see what everybody thinks my weight is, because December is my month of sloth. So we're going to see how much weight I gain during December. During December, I will be driving everywhere, never bicycling, and eating all the time. We're going to see exactly how much weight I put on in 1 month. All right, you stay there. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show.
So it just is not there. That's weird.
Well, I can always.
The sheets are red and moist where I'm lying.
You got a few choices in there.
God in heaven, teach me how to die.
Lying to Provo tonight. All right, there you go. Hello. Welcome to the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming by. All right, what time is it? We got like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll get these, and then we'll do the weigh-in. Teresa, hello, sir. Hello, miss, ma'am. Sorry. It's the end of a long week. Hello, Teresa.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi. I'm taking a vacation day. I just want to tell you, I just love your program.
Well, thank you so much.
I email you occasionally from a major medical insurance company.
Excellent.
In the street.
And how did you discover this very fine radio program, Teresa?
I just came across it, and I do enjoy, I actually went to one of your sponsors one time and emailed you about the nice experience I had.
And who was that?
Sports bar?
Who was that?
Dominic.
Dominic, excellent. Well, thank you so much. Are you spreading?
Yeah, you mentioned my email. But I got to tell you, Tim Riley has the sexiest news voice on the planet.
See, that's what I'm saying. Women will call up, and it's clear that they only go through me to get to Tim.
Is there a Mrs. Riley?
That's so great that you sounded just like Leela on Futurama. Is there Mrs. Queeg Queg? So, no, it's...
You know what? I actually, the time that that Tim went out on the outside to check out that horrendous accident with the cement that dropped down there, not...
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
I do, too. I went out there in solidarity.
Excellent. Well, thank
and I'm
you.
Just like, oh... Hey, brother.
Well,
anyway, I'm guessing you weighed at 171.
171. All right.
Yeah.
We'll put it down. All right, Teresa.
That's really close to mine.
You spread,
Sarah,
spread the word. Yes. Yes.
I
go.
Just want to say, Sarah, you're like my fantasy, like cool girlfriend.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank
I know.
You.
I love you so much, and I check your website, and I enjoy it a lot.
Let's all make
well,
out.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Teresa.
And I really do work during the day.
I believe you.
Except for today, I'm stacking wood.
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. Okay, thank you.
So you get to like keep her on for all your nice things, and when she tries to say something nice to me,
I'm sorry, we're losing a call. All right, no, it's 3 o'clock. Okay.
We've got time. You just got to get on the scale, get off.
All right, so let me get a little backstory. So here's the thing, is that Sarah noted that I was doing really good, especially during the warmer months, being a bicyclist.
He wasn't.
I was. But that's the thing. I was a bicyclist who sometimes drove.
This is a discussion for another day. Sometimes drove. You were not a bicyclist. You were a bike rider / driver.
I'm saying now
I'm a bicyclist.
I've become
a... Did you ride your bike today, though?
I sure did not.
There you go.
I'm a flat tire.
Moving on. So, but here's the thing is I've decided that I'm going to do what they tell you. Like when you're on a diet or whatever, they say like occasionally you just got to eat bad, give into it, and then get back on the horse later. So here's my thing. I'm taking December off from all principles and values. So for December... I'm going to eat badly, exercise never, sit around a whole lot, and just gain weight. And then come January 1st, and I'll have to buckle down again. So, we got to do a December weigh-in, and then we'll do a weigh-in at the end of December and see how much weight I have put on over the course of this month. All right, Teresa guesses 171. Final bids now. Sarah, your weight.
Mine was
weight.
173.
Scotty J.
178.
Smoky Woods from our sister station KUPL 98.7, the biggest hits, the biggest stars.
Now, am I supposed to guess what your weight is right now?
Yes,
right
what?
Now.
What is now? We'll do the end of the month later.
158.
Okay.
Oh, that's too kind.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. The check's in the mail. Because it's unfair to ask people to guess my end of the weight month if they don't know what it is now. It's no
And we don't know
baseline.
The eating habits.
Yeah.
You don't know how many pizzas you'll be eating a day.
So like on Monday, many. So on on Monday, we're going to have people, then once my weight is known, we'll have people on Monday maybe guess what it's going to be the end of the month, and then we'll have like a prize or something. Like Showcase Showdown. Closest to without going over.
You're pretty scrawny, though. I don't see you packing on a lot of pounds.
Yeah, you don't know. You remember when I was kind of bloaty. Don't you remember that?
It's, you've never had a weight problem.
Do you remember about, I mean, look, I'm never going to be a huge guy. I'm never going to be a big, big guy because I just don't have that kind of frame. But the thing is, I put it on, like, my face. Like, you ought to see my driver's license when I first moved here. Big moon face. And, like, even, you were on the show when we were auditioning Singers for Bigger Than Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the DVD, the outtakes, we show the audition sequences. And I'm like, hey, kids, thanks for buying the DVD. Let's show some in-studio footage from when we auditioned Singers. And it cuts from me on the couch or whatever, introducing it to that footage. And I was big. I had a lot of extra weight on me. So, all right.
It's about that time.
All right. Does anybody else want to weigh in? Do we have final guesses from anybody?
Nate thinks you're 163. And Lisa thinks you're 170.
Lisa who?
Lisa Goddard.
Shut up.
Lisa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lisa and Cult Jim.
You know, the prize that we give away at the end of this whole thing should be a big Twinkie cake.
It should be a barrel of my fat.
It should be a burger cake.
Yeah, a big burger cake.
It should be all of my fat in a wheelbarrow.
All right, let's get you on the scale, Porky.
All right. This is like a Roomba scale.
It looks like a laptop.
Do I just stand on this or do I have
Yes,
to,
and you got
to
wait for the little thing to calculate.
What's the
matter
with just having a scale?
All right.
Okay. Sarah, you were going to weigh in, too, and give us the first two numbers of your weight.
I do not think so.
You were going to give us the first two numbers.
Yeah.
It's digitally accurate.
It's not going to happen.
All right. I'll say 120.
All right. Thanks, weighing Smokey. In now.
Okay. It's changing colors.
This is a stupid scale. What is it, like a mood ring?
I hope it's accurate.
Colors. I hope it shows the numbers sometime before the show is done.
You're on carpet and whatnot.
Because I'm on carpet.
Hmm. Okay.
Oh, woo! Oh, you should see the look on his face.
I knew it because I tested my mic the other day on it.
All right.
So I knew how much you weighed.
Number?
Rick weighs.
Wait, let me get the drum roll. Hold on, let me find the drum roll.
I'd say.
Hold on. I got to find the.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. And wait. No, it's right.
183.
182.6.
Oh, that's 183.
Yeah, 183.
That was my initial guess, too.
It wasn't your
initial
guess.
I swear.
It
Nate better call and,
Don't read it. She said it in the hallway. I said it might be too much.
On my honor, yes. 183.
No, it's true.
Yep.
Don't be a big
Because
leader.
I weighed myself the other day, and I knew how much you were going to weigh.
How much do you weigh? That.
I think I'm 165, something like that.
He's a healthy weight.
Because I ride my bike
every day. Shut your mouth! You guys are dicks! All right, so, fine. So, I'm done with 182.
Wow,
okay, I think the scale is lying.
Is wrong.
You possibly weigh 182.
That's what thank you for. Okay.
It's off by 20 pounds.
183.
Now, we'll do like a more elongated version of this on Monday with the people. Now, do you, and you can change it over the weekend, but do you have an initial guess at what I will weigh at the end of December?
If 196.
Jesus. 13 pounds in a month? That's not even possible.
Is Lara going to be out of town a lot?
Yeah,
if she is, then you'll put on
You can't put on 13 pounds in a month.
Okay, you're right. I'll say 8.
I mean, if I really put the work in, if I try.
I'll say 191. That's realistic. I think you'll put on 8
you
pounds.
You think I will be 191. I am 183. Now, Jesus God. Is this Mailman Chris on the hotline? Does he usually call the hotline?
Probably.
All right.
The postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris.
This is Chris.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I am not too bad.
All right.
Quick.
Oh, quick. Oh, we're ending. Oh, hello.
Yeah, you didn't get the worst or best criminal excuse. Didn't get to the, what should we do, the Dr. Elmo interview.
All right.
59.
Let's do it. 59 push-ups that you'll never do because you weigh 183 pounds.
And we're done. Thank you, Chris.
Talk to you Monday.
All right. Have a safe weekend, y'all. The Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Scotty J is the PA. Tim Riley's in the newsroom. And the manager of the Rick Emerson office, East, is Dave Zinn. As always, have a good weekend. Fuel tomorrow, 9 to 11. Gymnasium, 4 to 6. Don't let the bastard. Granted, thank you for listening. Be safe. Tom, like us next. Bye.
The streets are red and more.